Let God arise, let the King pour in.
Thank you.
King of Glory unto him. May you see him, King.
I feel like he's saying, stop doubting him.
Stop doubting him. Amen. Father, thank you for your presence today. Thank you for manifesting your glory here in Hillsboro. Lord, you arise and you scatter our enemies, and we thank you for that, Father God. Thank you for being the great I am, King of kings and Lord of lords. You are holy. You are holy. Let Hilltop give you the highest praise. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles today, the Lord has given me Psalms 66. Praise to God for his awesome works. Make a joyful shout to God, all the earth.
Hallelujah.
Sing out the honor of his name.
Amen.
Make his praise glorious.
Amen.
Say to God, how awesome are your works. Through the greatness of your power, your enemies shall submit themselves to you. All the earth shall worship you and sing praises to you. They shall sing praises to your name. Come and see the works of God. He is awesome in his doing towards the sons of men.
Amen.
He turns the sea into dry land. They went through the river on foot. There we will rejoice in him. He rules by his power forever. His eyes observe the nations. Do not let the rebellious exalt themselves. Oh, bless our God, all you peoples, and make the voice of his praise to be heard, who keeps our soul among the living and does not allow our feet to be moved. For you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined. You brought us into the net. You laid afflictions on our backs, and you have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but you brought us out to a rich fulfillment. I will go into your house with burnt offerings, and I will pay you my vows, which my lips have uttered, and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer you burnt sacrifices of fat animals with the sweet aroma of rams. I will offer bulls with goats. Selah. Come and hear, all you who fear God. And I will declare what he has done for my soul. I cried to him with my mouth, and he stole with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. But certainly God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, who has not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me.
Thank you. That was good. That's the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I can take credit. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We praise your name. We lift your name on high, Lord. Let your glory fill this place today, Lord. We honor you. We respect you. Father, you are our majesty. You are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords, and we worship you today. I ask that you anoint this word, let it go out as you want it to go out, in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Sorry. Last Sunday, I spoke about the dry bones and spent time on it. And the message, the key part of the message was, God, can you revive our spiritual journey? And I feel like a heaviness off many people when I get in their presence. In fact, when I walked into the sanctuary today, I felt a heaviness, but I'm so thankful that I really had the joy of the Lord inside of me, and it was filled up. And I want to encourage you with that, because you might have dry bones all around you. But when the Holy Spirit breathes upon you, the breath of life, you get up, you move, you're energized, for a lack of words. And I shared Ezekiel 37, 1 through 6 last Sunday. And I spent a lot of time on talking about the Israelites, and I talked about how they knew God, but they didn't follow God. And we have that going on today. And sometimes in our hearts are dry. And sometimes we feel kind of dead. We feel like really, Lord, you know, really, you want me to do what? You know, it's kind of like you just don't know what you're supposed to be doing. You're just so dry inside. And I mentioned that the Holy Spirit said that he wanted to show himself strong in you. When you get in that presence, he strengthens you. So as I kind of wanted to review that just for a second, he said the trials, things that we go through, that they actually bring about a spiritual growth. It also brings a blessing to us. And it's like we can only be so long on the mountaintop, but really the trials and things that go on happen in the valley. And when we get in that valley and we trust in him and we find the truth in the word of God and we just tune ourselves into him, you know, it is really, really amazing how he takes that valley experience and gives it into a mountaintop experience. I love that. And it's because of his love, his grace, his mercy. And truthfully, like I said, that one of the ministers talked about hope. And I thought, wow, thank you, Lord. And he saw a box, and the box had, he saw four boxes. And now this is Marie's Tran, how do you say it? This is my, how I interpreted it. The very first box had an H. The second box had an O, and the third box had a P, and the fourth one had an E, hope. And the Lord showed him that there was hope in him. And I thought, wow, that is so exciting, Lord, that we can have hope in him. And so he was so excited with what he had seen in the box, these boxes, that he took him to a secretary at a school. He knew the secretary, you know, he knew that she was full of the Lord. She loved the Lord. She wasn't into off things or anything. He just knew her. And he goes, here, I brought you these four boxes. And she goes, these four boxes of what? And he said, four boxes of hope. So she looked in them and she said, there ain't nothing in there. He goes, yeah, look again. There's something in here. And this is what she said. I don't need those four boxes. Take them away. And at first he wanted to kind of get this attitude like, she didn't want my boxes of hope. But he didn't do that. But what he had showed her, showed him, that sometimes people don't see what you see. And each one of us have a journey in him. And if we were to open up every one of these boxes, each one, everything that was in it would be mercy, would be grace, it would be love. And, you know, it's like, oh, here, this is for you. And you open it up and people can see it. But she never saw it. She never had the spiritual eyes to see it. And so one of the things that the Lord showed me is that people have always said, well, I don't see any difference happening in this world today. But you know, we don't know what's going on in the spiritual kingdom. We don't know the fight that is going on. We don't know the angelic hosts and what they're doing. But you know, we're not to worship angels, but you know, they are sent from God. And they have a specific job to do. And I thought it was so important, I just kind of wanted to make a comment about that, was that the daily experience was important. And sometimes couples find themselves. Sometimes they're unequally yoked. But the word says, keep on praying for the relational valley to improve. The second thing he said, individuals can get in the valley and find themselves if they spend time in him and tune their ears to what he has to say. He said even every unbeliever is living in a spiritual valley, but most of them are blind and they don't see what he's trying to say to them. And then the fourth thing he showed me was that churches can be found in a spiritual valley as well. Means they're not hearing, they're not seeing, they're not focused on what he wants to do, and maybe there's a part. Maybe they don't want to be obedient. Maybe they don't want to do that. Maybe they don't want to come out of their comfort zone. So last Sunday, he said churches could be found in a spiritual valley, and they need to get new spiritual health. They need to, the attack is so great on families today that we need to pray for families within our church. I think it was important with what Joe did to pray for, to bring it before every one of us before the Lord. And so I kind of wanted to talk about that. That was provision and how he takes care of us. He takes care of us, not just financially. It could be food. It could be spiritual food. It could be showing us something new. And I mentioned that last Sunday. So I kind of wanted to bring that to your attention. Hopefully you spent time in that Ezekiel 37. And I love that part about breathing into you. I don't know about you, sometimes I go, oh, I'm just so out of breath. But when the Holy Spirit comes inside me, he gives me breath and strength. I can't even put it into words. He wants that for us. That's a provision. When you can breathe properly and your lungs are filled with him, it's like it fights sickness. There's so many people that are sick right now. And he talked about attaching different things. I ain't going to kind of go into all that detail. But he just said that that he wants, God wants us to move upon his people. He loves all of his people. And most of them are forsaken with love. So that was kind of a provision he talked about. So I got so excited and I thought, oh gosh, Lord, thank you. I can talk about the third part to provision because I never do series. I know lots of people do series teaching, but I don't. I try to listen to the Holy Spirit, what he wants me to say, write it down the best I can, and dear God, to reread it as something else. But I asked the Lord, do you want me to talk about provision 3? I mean, I'm excited. I did that on the bulletin. He said no. So I thought, what am I supposed to do? So he spoke to my heart about true friends. And he said, I want you to talk about friendship. I went, really? And I'm going to obey him. He said, true friends are hard to find. And he said that a true friend will actually stick closer than maybe one of your family members. And sometimes, whether you understand it or not, a true friend might know you better than your family knows you. He said, a true friend will pray bigger things for you than you actually pray for yourself. Is that good? They believe with you when your faith is weak. They make space for you when life falls apart. And they rejoice with you when everything is going great. Most importantly, true friends remind you in every encounter who and what is important. Christian friendship is hard to find. And the Lord sent me to the scripture, Matthew 16, verse 22. And this is when Jesus began to show his disciples that they had to go to Jerusalem, or that he must go to Jerusalem, excuse me, and suffer many things from elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, but he would be raised on the third day. Verse 22, then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, I love this. Far be it from you, Lord. This ain't going to happen to you. You ever have when your friends come to you with a problem and you go, really? That ain't going to happen to you. We all do that. And then verse 23, he turned and looked at Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me. For you are not mindful of the things of God, but only the things of men. Over my years, the Lord has given me some very true friends. The Lord has allowed me to speak to you from this pulpit about a friend that I lost a couple years ago. And it was really hard because, you know what, I never had to prove myself to that person. She just took me for who I was. There were times that we laughed together and we cried together and we didn't know what to say to each other and we went for long walks as if we were going to conquer the whole world. And when she died, it was really a hard thing for me because it was someone I was very close to. And whenever I went on conferences, that person went with me. And what was really kind of cool was we just had a good time when we went. And when it was time to go to bed, we went to bed and we just went to sleep. And a lot of people made negative comments that were Christians saying, well, you know, is this your mom? Or, you know, she was older than me. But you know what? We never had to explain who we were or the friendship we had. And to be truthful, the majority of people wish they had it. The essence of a Christian friendship is companionship. It's actually having Jesus among you, knowing that he can satisfy your soul more than anything else. The Lord has shown me many enemies in disguise. I've had many people, you know, kind of follow me around or hang with me or whatever, or I don't know how else to put it. And I would never be friends with them. I mean, I say nice things to them, but they're just not in my circle. When the Lord gave me my husband, I told the girls when we came back that I couldn't wait to get home to my best friend. When you find someone that you love and the Lord puts you together, it's like you can be ticked off with each other, but you still find a workable solution to what's going on. Everybody doesn't have that. I was amazed at the ministers that were at the conference who talked about their wives. Yes. Or when I saw Pastor Robert Rogers' book and on the back, it was him and his wife together on the back. It wasn't a picture of him. That told me something about him. That told me about what kind of integrity and character he had. I really believe there is such an attack on that, but I wanted, I'm trying to stick to friendship. The Christian friendship is a treasure. And the pastor that Joe and I and our children were under for 29, 30 years, she mentored me and beyond words. And she took me for who I was, and she helped me to mature and to grow. And truthfully, even as much as Joe and I and our children were underneath her, her and I had a very strong relationship, that I could go and talk to her about anything. And it wouldn't be all over the church. It would be just a one-to-one contact. And she told me something. She told me that this person that I was talking about, not just my Joe, but this other friend, never to forsake them. That didn't mean nothing to me. I didn't even know them yet. And she showed me that when you're close to someone and you're going through hard times, and everybody even comes against you, that when there is that true friendship, that bond that is there, nothing can separate that. Because you have Jesus in the middle of it. And I don't stand up here at this pulpit to give you a bunch of garbage. I really want you to know how valuable it is when you really have true friendship. And I put down here, the Lord said it was one of the greatest treasures that he could give. And Jesus is probably one of the best friends that we could have and should be number one in our life. Because I can truthfully tell you, man will fail you. I will fail you. I'm just too my young. But Jesus will never fail you. He loves you unconditionally. Jesus is our bread of life. He's our living water. He is our pearl of great price. He is our light, he is our resurrection, and he is the best friend that you could ever have. The greatest danger to all of us in here, to all of our souls, because whether you like it or not, Satan does not like you. Satan wants to kill and destroy you. He wants to take your soul from you. But when you are sold out to your best friend, Jesus Christ, your soul belongs to Jesus Christ. And Satan can attack you, but he can't have your soul.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And that's something to hold on to.
Hallelujah.
The greatest danger to our soul is that we might abandon abiding in him, following him, finding our joy in him. Therefore, the best gift a friend can give is commitment to fight, commitment to be in his presence, commitment. And that's what the Lord is asking for. He's not asking you that you can memorize 150 things in this Bible. He's asking for a relationship with you. He's coming as the bridegroom for his bride, the church, and he is saying, come, come. Will you come to me? Will you follow me? We watched a video and it says, it was showing like an invasion and Jesus was riding on the horse. That's what it was supposed to be, symbolic. How many people are going to ride along with him? How many people are going to come along with him? And he asked that today to everybody here. Are you going to ride with him? The worst distortion of friendship arises when a friend encourages us, and they didn't really mean it. I hate it when people say, excuse me for saying it that way, but I hate it when people go, oh, I love you, really? The only true person that knows me and my good days and my bad days is that man sitting right there for 44 years, truthfully. Good days, bad days, hair up, hair down. But when you know a true friend, the Lord builds in them integrity. And that is one thing that I feel, and I will take to my grave someday, is that I always have felt that my husband had integrity. And if he told you something, and he would stand by his word. Very few people have that kind of integrity. Jesus tells his disciples in Matthew 16:21 that he will die and he will rise again. But as you saw, Peter went, yeah, right, I don't believe it. What Peter thought was helpful, Jesus called it a hindrance. What Peter assumed was a godly friendship with Jesus, Jesus called it a satanic opposition. That really hit my spirit when I read that. When I've met certain people that even sitting here in this church today, you don't have to prove yourself to me, I'm not interested in it. Well, I just want to be your friend. I'm very picky who my friend was. And truthfully, I can love you and respect you with a godly love, but true friendship is something that I feel that the Lord gives to you. There are five marks of Christian friendship. I don't know if you've ever heard these before. I said to the Lord, how do we avoid the mistake that Peter made? How can we be a friend who preserves and strengthens the faith of others? And here are five things that he showed me. Number one, true friends heighten our joy in the Lord. I like it when I go with people and they're fun. I like to go with people that are sold out to the Lord like I am. I like to be with people who like to dance in the presence of the King and likes to sit on the first three rows in the churches. And I had a pastor friend that said to me, you know, Marie, if you ever sat in the back, you'd see really what was going on. But you know, truthfully, I don't care. The battle's the Lord's. I just like to soak in his presence and be in his presence. And truthfully, when Joe and I have gone to different places, I'll say, you know, going up front. He goes, you know, I love it. I love to get lost in him. And truthfully, we naturally drag our friends that we want to hang around with. Maybe they would like to see the same movie like you like. Or maybe they want to come to your favorite restaurant with you. And I have a friend who sits in this church today. Her name is Karen Sue Yago. And when we go places, we have fun. We minister at Walmart. We minister at Meijer's. We minister to the homeless. We go to different restaurants. We do all kinds of things, and the Lord gives us favor. Or sometimes, I don't know what we're supposed to be doing, but we end up in some place, and we end up ministering to someone. And I went to this conference to get filled up. And to my amazement, there was a young man who was really a praise and worship person, and you know what? They didn't like him because he moved.
And I thought, oh dear God, if they ever saw me.
They told him to kind of tone it down. Don't raise your hands so much. Don't jump on the stage. And I thought, whew. And the first person that picked it up in the spirit was Karen Suyeda. And she went up to this guy. She overheard it with spiritual ears, and she went up to this guy and said, hey, you know, I just want you to know you keep that up because you really encouraged me. Can I say that, Karen? She said, you really encouraged me. And it just set this kid, I don't know what he is age-wise, free.
18, 19
years old. I mean, he was free. So I didn't know any of that. And so I went up to this young man and I said, whoa. I said, I got to tell you something from the Lord. I didn't know it was this person Karen talked to. I said, you, the pastor that was up there, looked at him. Now, there's a church full of people, looked at him, and the person was playing on the keyboard, but he was the only one that you could hear the words to. It was just moving. And the Lord sent me over to him to tell him that he could have taken that whole church, been the leader of the army, they would have marched with him because the Holy Spirit was all over him. And I told him that, and he was like in shock. So I realized that was the second confirmation. So what the Lord was showing me was that when you're in tune with the Holy Spirit, you're going to minister. I'm not trying to be smart. I'm not trying to say, well, look at this. But I really want to talk about Karen for a minute. Because truthfully, different things that she has gone on, I don't know how she goes through it all. But she trusts in him to take her through it. And so we both love the drama and the music, and we've always been involved in it. And while different things were going on, even like the dance, we just kind of looked at each other. We didn't have to say anything. We knew that we were supposed to do this skit coming up. We knew we were supposed to do this. We knew we were supposed to do that. And my poor Joe, he always goes, really? But I'm really serious about this. It's like when you're linked, whether you understand it or not, it's because you have one purpose in mind, and that's to bring others to the kingdom of God. But truthfully, God is really the greatest. We were made for him. We're in his image. We are to enjoy him. God is a loving God. He is an awesome God. And he's worthy to be praised. And the more you get to know him, the more you will see that light that he sheds, that light that he gives through Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit, is you. He's in you. And sometimes I have to remind myself of that. But I want you to know that Christian friends help us enjoy God by enjoying him. Lisa went with us at the conference, and she's the practical one about all of us. Karen and I are off in La La Land, and Lisa is saying, what time are we supposed to be up? I don't even know how to get to the church, and I brought everybody. And what I'm trying to say is different friends in your life are there for a purpose. But Christian friends help us to enjoy him. They share it with us. I'm not being smart to you today, but I can truthfully tell you, I love it when Joe starts worshiping. If you really have ever heard my husband sing, it's powerful.
You need to,
yeah, how he, my gosh, the whole, yeah, the whole shakes, like Karen says. It's like it's so wonderful to have that praise and worship on. And I say, boy, wasn't that an exciting song, or wasn't that an exciting video? And I looked at Joe, and I don't even know if he really understood where I was coming from. But I know that no matter where I'm at, he's with me. Wherever I go, he's with me. I really want you to hear that from the Lord today, that we need to be looking more for God. We need to be looking for, Lord, who do you want me to be friends with? And sometimes it's for a season. And sometimes it could be for a long period of time. You know, I've got friends, excuse me, I have to get Kleenex. I've got friends who have been friends with me for 30-some years. And they just take me for who I am, I guess, I don't know. But that's a long time to know somebody. But a true friend exposes sin in you. They're going to say something like, you know, I don't think so. I don't think you should be doing that. And you might not even realize that you're doing something wrong. We went to a Joyce Meyer's conference. And I don't know, four of us or something. And we were eating at a restaurant, and I guess this guy was flirting with me, but I didn't even know he was flirting with me. And the girls that I was with said, do you know that guy's trying to hit on you? And I went, why? And they went, oh, my God, oh, my God. You know, they do one of these things like this. I wasn't even, like, I was, like, blown away from that. So a friend shows what you can step into that's not right, or can show you something that you're not even aware of, and you can be innocent in it. But I will never forget that, them telling me that, and I just went, get real.
Like that down at the table.
Yeah. And so that person said, hey, how about if I buy you dinner? I don't think so. The next day we came, that person, and come to find out he was the big manager of this great big place, and I went, oh, my God. Made me sick. But see, when you're really sold out to someone, when the devil comes knocking on your door, he gives you friends that say, hey, you need to watch what you're doing. They're going to tell you the truth. I remember when I went through our first year here at the church, and oh my God, something really happened, and this couple was arguing, maybe it was the second year, and I thought, dear God, these people are supposed to be doing this, and they're fighting and everything, and oh my gosh, I didn't know how to handle it. And Vicki is, we'll find things in the Word. Well, let's take it to the cross. Let's see what the Lord says. Different friend. Do you know what I'm saying? A friend that's important, but I really appreciate that. Or I'm trying to show you that he puts different friends into your life for different reasons. When I'm trying to figure out something spiritually, I've gone many times in private or talked with Vicki and I said, boy, I really want you to pray about this. And she knows I'm serious. And I maybe never shared it with anybody else. So the Lord sends friends that can help you with that too and help you to stay strong. And I remember it was so powerful. But whether you understand it or not, you need friends. And I feel so sorry for guys, because they don't have many friends. Women will chit-chat, get on the phone with Joel, say to me, how could you talk for an hour and a half? What could you possibly say to that person for an hour and a half? And then they come over to the house and you're still yakking at them. What could you say? I don't know. But what I learned from the Lord was that women were relational. And I wish more men were relational, would let down their whatever that family thing is, and let them get to know someone. Then I say to Joe, how can you talk about a football game that many hours with your brother? Don't get it all.
That's different.
Yeah, that is different. But anyway, it's a friend. Do you kind of understand what I'm trying to say? It's like the Lord puts different friends in your life. And truthfully, a true friend helps us to see the blind spots that you might not see. We need friends to speak with brutal honesty. I said, Lord, is that scriptural?
Yeah.
Matthew 18:15. And speak tender with compassion. Galatians 6:1. Telling us the truth about ourselves even when we don't want to hear it. Isn't that cool? Ephesians 4:15. A loving friend can show you your blind spot. Truthfully, most of us don't want friends. Because you know what? It's easier to live in isolation, to be by yourself. But that's not my Father. My Father did not place us here on earth to go live out on an island. He did not place us to isolate ourselves and have nothing to do with anybody else. That's not of the Father. The Father has built in you, has helped you with your identity, and you, when you spend time in His presence, He helps you to grow, and you can share with other people, and you'd be amazed. When I got up this morning, you know, Joe kept the house up pretty good. I mean, he really did. He was busy. But when I came downstairs, Joe had made breakfast. I told you he makes breakfast on Sundays. And Lisa did all the dishes and cleared out the whole dishwasher. That might not seem like much to you, but it was a big deal to me.
But Marie got up this morning and she was preparing the meal for the day.
Yes!
Joe was preparing the meal and Marie was, so I did the cleaning.
And it was very kind, and I thank you for that. That's very nice. But what I'm trying to say is, we'd much rather have friends who always tell us what we want to hear. And I don't. And I don't want you to be my friend if you think you got to prove yourself to me, because believe me, I'll see right through it. And I don't want a friend that shows false grace to me and excuses me when I do sinful things or when I do something wrong. Because sin is a poison and it grows and it gets into our soul. And it actually robs us of our joy. Number three, true friends encourage us to obey God. Sometimes I have to say, well, this is the pastoral part of me, and I'm going to tell you this. This is what the Word says. Now, let me tell you as a woman what I think about this. And sometimes I do that, and the girls all know it out there. And then we have to go back to the Word, because the Word is the final authority. We need to stir each other up in love and good works. That's Hebrews 10:24. I found another verse, Hebrews 3:13. So while it is true we need friends to help us to see anything that's disobedient, we also need them to spur us, to help us to be obedient to the Lord. Often obedience to God takes more than courage. And sometimes you really can't muster that alone. Sometimes the Lord gives you that true friend that can really help you to take certain things to the Lord and leave it there and trust in Him. And that really comes from maturity. I don't care about flattery. I told you I don't care if you like me. I don't care, whatever. I don't. I'm beyond that in my years. But what I do care about is that you know that what I'm saying from this pulpit, I live it at home, so does Joe. And that's truthful to you. a courage to other people. We need to strengthen other people. We have to help them from a Christian perspective to see the vision that the Lord has for them to go deeper. It's not just seeing or having a vision and casting a vision, as people talk about. It's going beyond that. Because when crises happen in your life, you need true friends. You need someone that's going to stand alongside of you and lift you up when you're going to fall down. Encouragement motivates. The fourth thing the Lord said is true friends bring us to God when we're so weak we don't know what to do. And the example that I felt that the Lord was trying to show me was the friends who brought the person who was paralyzed, remember, on the bed, and they opened up the roof. And yeah, and they sent the bed down and to bring him in. And I just thought to myself, you know, when a true friend would do that for you. A true friend would help you to get to the cross. A true friend would help you to look in the Word. What does the Lord say about it? I think what is also important is when you've got one purpose here in life, and I tell that to my own children, they know it. When the Lord is finished with Mom, I'm going home. Okay, Mom. No. I have a job to do while I'm here. And when I get finished, with Dad or without Dad, I'm going home. If you are born again, you are just a visitor here. This isn't your planet. Excuse me, put it that way. If the Lord knew you when you were in your mom's womb, and I say that to Chris and Cheyenne here, the Lord knew you when you were babies, little babies. He knew you. He has plans for you. The Lord values you. He gives you integrity. He's teaching you and showing you different things that show me the right way. He knows us. He knew us. And true friends love us for the glory of God. Whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. The reason I wanted that last song was when I hear the violins play. Our daughter played when she was like 10 or 11, she played the violin. And when I hear it, it reminds me of how gifted and the talent that she had. And there were different people from our church that were from the Flint Symphony Orchestra. And sometimes, whether I can explain this or not, you have to tune your ear to music. You have to tune your ear to frequencies. You have to tune your ears to the Lord. And she was just so young that I always dragged her up. To this day, she hates playing the violin. Crushed me. I said to her, "Oh, Sarah," I said, "Mama, I wish you would play again." And she goes, "Mother, I don't ever want to play again." You see, sometimes we can force people to do certain things they don't want to do. Whether you're a mom, whether you're a friend, my daughter and I are very close friends. Now, the relationship changes. But I can truthfully tell you this, that only God can help you do what is right for your children. I thought I was doing right. When I tell her that, I said, "I'm sorry that I did that to you." She goes, "Oh, Mom, it's okay." Because she loves me. A true friend loves you and wants you to understand the glory of God. Whatever you do, whether you sit here whether we go out these doors throughout the week, everything that you do should be for the glory of God. When I cop this crappy attitude that I could have, or around people who have a terrible attitude, I kind of think, wow, did you bring glory to God today? Come on. Everything we do should bring glory to his name. The bridegroom is coming for his bride. I don't know about you, but I want to encourage you, even you kids that are here, that you will want to make Jesus number one in your life. And that you can't live without him. I can tell you that. I know I can't live without him because ask Joe, ask my kids, Mom, what planet are you on? Like I am in tongues when a movie comes on. Or I'm in a movie theater because I'm going, what is that? And the Lord will show me different things. But what I'm trying to say to you is this, whether you understand me or not today, do everything to glorify the Father. Everything. When you're in a situation and you know it's not right, ooh, how Jesus walked in next to you. Is that where you're supposed to be? I mean, the situation I'm talking about, when we went to the Joyce Myers conference, that could have turned into something. But I was so madly in love with Joe, I don't even let Satan in the door. If you've let Satan in the door, repent and move on. Ask the Lord to wash it away. You know, there's all kinds of adrenaline rushes of importance and significance. Look at me and what I can do. Let me tell you something. All the degrees that I have doesn't buy me a position with the Lord. It could buy me a position in the world. It could. And did. But this is what I'm saying to you. He's looking for true fellowship with you. The Lord is looking for intimacy with you. And I know that's taken in the wrong way today. But what I'm trying to say is that he's coming. Keep that marriage supper of the Lamb. Are you ready? Are you ready to be invited to this feast? But I do want to mention that Christian friends who are focused on God are some of my best friends. And like I said, we're celebrating Karen's birthday today. And I can truthfully tell you, she's a true friend. I don't have to thank myself being around her. We just go sometimes when I know what we're doing. So I just want you to know that she's a good friend, even as much as other people beat you up. You're a great person, great value. Now thank you for that. I'm not an easy person to know. You're an easy person to hang with, ask my joke. But I'm going to tell you right now, Karen was a good friend. Lisa's a good friend. Vicky's a good friend. And I can truthfully say, Christina, you've come so far. And you've got so much to give to that world out there. And you're going to be working with younger children.
And graduating.
And graduating. And I think what's so important is that you do something with that.
He will.
I know you will. But God has given you a love for children. And our children are what we call exploited today. Children aren't children no more. Children don't know who they are. That transgender crap and that woke stuff and all that stuff. Hey, you know, every time you see those little kids, love on those little kids. Be nice to those little kids. Encourage those little kids. Because I really believe God's given you that. And that's a gift. Very few people can have an impact on helping kids grow. And you know what?
33 years I taught school, and I always had my Bible on my desk. I always talked about the Lord. I helped kids study for catechism. I didn't even know what it was. So God provides a pathway for everything you do if you trust in Him. But have character. Be truthful, because kids will see right through you. And that generation is coming. They're our future. Amen?
God, yeah.
So, Father, I thank you. I praise you. I give you glory. I give you honor. I don't know if I did a very good job, Father, on that, but, Father, you can fix it up. And so, Holy Spirit, I thank you. You're a friend to me, Holy Spirit. I've known you a long time. I only even know little bits of you, but thank you for being here. Thank you for showing up here at Hilltop today. Thank you for everything that you do and everything that you're doing to the people here. And I love you with my whole heart, and you are the best. And so, Father, I thank you for the friends you've given me. I thank you for my wonderful husband that I love. And, Father, I thank you right now for everything that you're going to be doing in each one of us. Seal this with your blood. Seal this with your stamp. In Jesus' name, amen.